out the planning meeting. June, what are we?
16th, it says on this piece of paper.
Yeah, I just put mine over here, so I guess it'll be.
March is the 16th.
Okay, first item on the agenda is public comment. Is anybody here have public comment for an item that's not on the agenda? You want to talk to the commission about?
I have one.
Okay.
Okay, this week, just two or three days ago, I don't remember this exactly, how many, it was last Friday night. We had an incident take place within the town of Daniel that I don't believe anyone would like to repeat. We had three different groups who were none of them affiliated with Daniel, did not have a stake in Daniel, did not have a hand in Daniel, and they were shooting targets at the mountain, at the base of the mountain. They were right at the bottom of the mountain, next door to Von Glasgow's property. It was the optometrist, what's his name?
Call.
Call, yeah. Okay, he had leased the field to a gentleman here in the Heber Valley, Addison Hicken. They had about 30 Boy Scouts, and they were shooting and shooting and shooting. When Vaughn heard it, he called the sheriff's department. Sheriff went down, looked at him, and said, "Well, there's really nothing we can do," and so they're just fine. When I got there, actually I was there, when I heard the shooting going on, I went down to see what was going on. I contacted the sheriff. I was told exactly the same thing. Well, they've got permission from the landowner. They have permission to be shooting, and they're not within 600 feet, which I think they were mistaken on. Nobody measured anything, but I think they were close enough to the pump house that they would have, that whatever was coming down from the sky, I think was hitting the pump house. And I said, "Well, that's a violation." And we can, no, they're more than 600 feet. So we had a group of scouts that were from somewhere in the valley, but not here in Daniel. We had landowner who was down, I think he's from Murray somewhere. And we had the sheriff's department who was not from Daniel's. And we were told there's nothing that we can do about having the risk to be taken by all of us. Most of us who were up and down that street were evacuated a year ago. This would be the fourth year in a row. Up to last year, we had 3 years that the mountain was ignited on fire by shooting. And this would be the fourth year, and they were right at the base of the mountain. Now, I would like to suggest, when I looked into it and when the sheriff told me what was going on, there's absolutely nothing to prevent them from shooting. I wonder if we could all, on the Planning Commission, consider the one only ordinance that I don't think we have here that almost every other town or city has, and that is no shooting within city boundaries or town boundaries. And I don't think if any of us would have found out that mountain got lit up again for the fourth year, which it still may yet get lit up by shooting, I don't think any of us would like that, especially those of us who had to evacuate last year. The governor has gone on record as saying, if you're towing a trailer, don't let the chain drag towing the trailer, because the spark's coming from that chain. Just barely the chain, the sparks, have lit the mountain on fire. The Mount Air fire 2 years ago was caused by a dump truck dragging the chain. He also said no lawnmowers. If a lawnmower touches a rock, it can ignite a spark, have the dry grass underneath it ignite. And certainly shooting at this point, this close to the dry area, is something that we all need to be aware of and not be told by others outside of Daniel that, yes, you have to accept it. We're putting your property, your homes, your yards, everything at risk, and you have to accept it. Now, don't need any motions or movements or anything, but I would like everybody here on the Planning Commission to please consider if we could possibly get a no shooting ordinance within the town of Daniel, at least for the summer. I would like us all to consider that.
Okay. I don't believe that that's addressed in the ordinance we just passed on the fireworks.
No. In fact, it says no discharging of fireworks, but it nowhere says no shooting. And the people who want to shoot and target shoot, they're going to look at it and say, well, it doesn't say here. I'm going to go out and go over to the mountain and shoot. It just, there is absolutely no sense whatsoever in people shooting this. If you want to go shoot, there's places you can go where you won't ignite the mountain. When I was a kid, our Boy Scout troop went out west of the airport to the gun club out in Salt Lake Airport. West of the Salt Lake Airport to the gun club that's out there. Or other times when we went shooting, we went all the way out to the Salt Flats, which is just around the corner and down from the Great Salt Lake Beach. There are so many places that you can shoot that will not jeopardize or risk the houses, the property. I've got a ton of trucks parked in my backyard. I have $35,000 worth of solar panels back there. If I get one flame going up the mountain in this direction, not the mountain that way, I've lost $35,000 of solar panels. And these people say, well, we were at risk too. And I said, what are you at risk for? You don't have a home, you don't have trucks, you don't have anything. Well, I have the field leased. Okay, so if you lease the field and you miss one cutting of one crop of that field, you're down like $200. If I get one flame onto that solar panel installation, I've lost $35,000, and that doesn't include anything else that I would lose. I'm very offended by those people that say, oh, well, this doesn't matter. I can live 5 miles away, and I'm still at risk for it. No, you're not. It's not your backyard. You're not the one that got evacuated last year. You're not the one who's going to be evacuated this year.
Yeah, I don't even think that was brought up, shooting in there, and I don't think the state one says that.
No, but the state did ban shooting in the wildlife management area.
They did in their wildlife management.
I think we need it within the entire town boundary.
But I think yours backs up to Daniel Land Company, I mean, whatever, Daniel Livestock Company or whatever it is.
Mine goes approximately, my property goes, it hits the boundary of the mountain, and then it keeps on going. I'm only 2/3 of the way back on my property of the mountain. 1/3 more of that goes up the mountain.
Okay, but then I'm saying the next property is probably the Daniel Cattlemen's Association, not state.
And where that fire was stopped last year, mm-hmm, was one property away.
Right, I'm just saying, but in the wildlife management area, there's already a ban on shooting for the rest of the year.
Okay, well.
But I'm just wondering, probably.
So, and they haven't put up any signs yet. That was a big hollow this morning. There's nothing up. I mean, they will.
They can still shoot at the gun club, but the rest, yeah, of it is.
And where they were shooting, Gary, they were on private property from a gentleman who does not live here. He has no home, he has no investment, he has nothing on that property. Sure, go ahead and shoot. And if it lit the field on fire, he wouldn't, yeah, care.
Well, the one that's up the street from me on Airbnb, that's one of the things they list. You can shoot and you can, on their pad. Right. Yeah, I thought, really, that's
Andy.
Nice.
That's Andy. Yeah, that's a good point to bring up, for sure.
But it's only the council that can do something about it.
Yeah.
No, but to spread the word is what I'm trying, yeah, to do. I don't know anybody in here, if everybody was aware that happened this week, and luckily it didn't light the field or the mountain on fire. But that's exactly what started the last 3 years' fires, was shooting. And the gentleman, Addison Hicken, he said to me, oh, we're shooting across an irrigated field, so there's no way that we can light the mountain on fire. And my point is that whether he's right or whether he's wrong, the other people, the last 3 years, the three shooters that lit the mountain on fire, said the same thing. Oh, there's no way that I can light the mountain on fire. And up it went.
Okay, yeah, that'll be a good discussion to bring up with the council, because we haven't included that in that ordinance. Any other items? That's it. Okay. That takes us to item number 2, Stephanie Carlson. Zone change, 374 East, 3000 South. Everybody get that packet and send out your emails? Okay.
Okay, my name is Stephanie Carlson, my mom and Ivy lives at 374 East 3000 South, and we would like to just explore the possibility of a zone change to RA1 for her 3.41 acre parcel. We would like to build a home in the back portion of her field. And we're just curious to explore our options, see if that would be something that the town would allow, or what would be required to do that.
Okay. So everybody has a packet, I have one extra copy if you guys need to review.
Which is the three items in the packet, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So this is, it's currently in the RA5 zone.
When did you send this out?
Sunday, I believe.
I'm not getting emails apparently.
Really?
You'll only get it on your town email.
Yeah.
It used to go to your personal.
On your device.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Your email's full, Tom.
Fine, I have it here now.
Okay. That's where I sent the notice for the meeting too.
Really?
We got a meeting today?
You got that one?
Some things just, you know, never change.
Okay, so anybody have any questions for the applicant?
The drawing that we provided was just like a rough draft of what we would do, like a private drive into the back portion.
So this is what I sent out, tell everybody that.
What it was current, okay.
Yeah, and I thought Ryan would be here tonight, but he hasn't made it. Hay season, he never.
I told him to cut, I hope that's what he's doing.
Hopefully. So currently we have an RA1 zone on the other side of the highway, going up Daniel Canyon. And so this is also probably a good time to, the county has just done a big study on the well and the new septic requirements that are getting a little bit stronger. He will be to the council meeting, Tracy will be, and he will be going over this with the council because it looks like they're gonna change density. See if it's in red, if I got the right one here. The recommendation on this new study is, I should just read it to you. One per 18 acres.
Septic.
So that's a.
18.
Yeah. So it sounds like they're starting to get a little bit of residual, can you say that, residual, from the septics, and they're getting worried about that with the groundwater. Because we're under the pristine water regulation right now, and that's been an issue. They almost took that off because they said it's too hard to get around that pristine. But this study they just did, had a commission, just, it's just come back. So they're making the rounds through the municipalities talking about that. So that might come into play on some zoning again.
That's right now 5 acres, right?
Yeah, that was their recommendation. But it's been 20 years ago when they did their last study, so.
In this new study, they're recommending 18 acres?
Yeah, per septic.
Wow. Wow.
So it's they haven't implemented anything, but they have, he's going around talking to all the municipalities about it, so. At some point, I imagine that we'll get pressure to hook on a sewer system. I think that's where that's leading to. We'll see what the Division of Water has to say, but yeah.
And we will be responsible for 100% of that, right?
Usually not when they require that. They usually come up with matching funds, so they're usually half.
From the county then, that matches?
State of Utah. That'll be the Division of Drinking Water, so.
So you said, Eric, that we do have RA1 lots on the opposite side of 40?
We do.
Okay, because when I was reviewing the code, I couldn't find any reference to any RA1.
So that annexation.
So where is that information?
That annexation that came in as an RA1.
Okay.
And so it's up around Bonnie Vincent's barn.
Okay.
All that area is RA1.
But nothing's been built there on that.
Nothing's been built because of that very issue, the sewers. clear down at the...
Yeah, but there's lots of lots, in particular, I know what's up and down Little Sweden, and I know there are lots of lots that even though they were subdivided way back, they still were able to build on 1 acre because the subdivision took place before the 5 acre requirement.
Subdivision requirements are different than parcel.
Okay, but they still got a house there and they still put septic on 1 acre.
Yeah.
So it's more than just along Highway 40 where we have the RA1. There's other places, even though they might be spotty.
Well, they're not zoned.
No, they're not zoned RA1.
What are they zoned then?
RA5. And the county, when they came in 2000, they did the blanket, changed the zoning, RA5, RA3 went away, and everything in Daniel went to RA5.
Then how did those 1 acre lots get approved if they're RA5?
As soon as they make that zone a RA5, then it's a non-conforming law.
They were approved before the zone change took place.
Okay, that's my question, is that they were apparently grandfathered to it, that they...
Well, there's really not a grandfather. That's a term everybody uses, but there's not a grandfather.
Well, so, by grandfather, I mean that because they were in existence before the new RA5, they still are in compliance by building on a 1 acre lot.
Yeah, if they can meet the setbacks in a subdivision, then...
Right. No, that's not the issue. What I'm saying is that I've seen two or three over the years where instead of having 5 acres for the drainage for the septic field, that there's at least two that I know of that happened since that time only on 1 acre, and they were allowed to do it. So,
well, and
that confuses me.
Yeah, and it even gets more confusing because they actually have treatment systems on small acreage that they can install that actually treats.
Well, these weren't. These were just holding tank or septic tank and then a drain field.
Yeah.
In fact, one house, they had to do the entire front yard. So everything under the grass on the front yard from the driveway to the edge of the property is all drain field.
Yeah. So there's just different requirements on those that have been approved and were legal at the time.
When is it that we overload the sewer system here in the valley? I mean, there's a lot of growth taking place where they can put into the sewer already without going out to the outskirts like Daniel. I'm a little bit concerned if Daniel tries to get involved with sewer, then the next thing you know is you've got the contamination of the Deer Creek. I mean, this little valley is getting so populated. So the reason why I bring that up is the next thing you know, we're having to do our own little sewer plant.
Will either be doing that or hooking into somebody else's.
Well, can you see 1,200 people, a population of 1,200 people, getting involved with a $50 million sewer plant?
Well, there's that many new homes going up along Mill Road. Well, there is. I mean, all the way from clear back at 6 South, clear to the highway, across the highway in that new subdivision right there off of, west of Mill Road.
Yeah.
Where they've made the roundabout circle where it used to go straight through.
Yeah.
I mean,
They'll make it work. They'll just expand the sewer.
Those are all going into the sewer right now, aren't they? They wouldn't be able to build them
right
homes.
Right. Yeah, if you're getting into Heber, you have to run the sewer. That's part of your development. So, but we don't have it. So,
so your property, the whole total property is 3.41 acres.
Yes,
is that correct.
Mm-hmm.
So it's already below the 5 acre minimum.
And she does have a meets and bounds description, but she also has a subdivision lot description. It's known as Lot 4 of, is it Lazy Acres subdivision or something? It was done way back in the 80s.
Do you have any copies of that?
I don't. I can pull it up. It's on the county website.
Okay. Because I looked at the county website and I just didn't see it.
And I didn't even know that until I looked. I didn't know that she had a meets and bounds description and also known as Lot 4.
Hmm. Her lot, where the house is now, is Lot 4?
Lot 4.
And then what's the area called behind? Is it
area,
a lot also?
No, the area, no, it's just 3.41 acres.
Lot 4.
Lot 4.
I see. Because as I was reading the code, it was pretty clear that we don't have any code to support your request.
That's why we're here.
Yeah, and I'm
Wondering.
Since we follow the code, I don't know what we as a council can do to help you. And especially in light of all the septic stuff, you know, we have to keep that in mind as far as planning. We want to keep rural, and already it was 5 acres, now we're 3.41, and then it'll be down to whatever you guys work out, so it's unfortunate. But I don't. That's why I was asking Eric if there's any papers or anything on the RA1 stuff on the other side, but there's no homes over there. So there's nothing in our code that I've seen that would support your request.
Yeah, this would almost be a spot zone. And your design here is a flag lot.
Which we talked about.
Which we don't have a flag lot standard either. So what ends up happening is this becomes a right-of-way going back instead of a flag lot driveway. Brian, did you have items on this application?
I think you guys have covered the biggest part.
Okay.
It's you know, currently RA5, and those requests is for a smaller lot. I didn't know it was part of a subdivision. That's new information. That doesn't, I think, change what's before you tonight, but that does. I think that might help with whether or not it's a lot of record. If there's a subdivision record, that would be potentially helpful.
Well, evidently, this subdivision has four lots.
It has where my mom's at, mm-hmm. and then the Lindahl property. All of that is part of the 4-acre, or the four-lot subdivision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that, like when I was telling Tom, a subdivision affords you even more protection than just a lot of record, so a subdivision. It also hinders it because when you change a subdivision, you have to get everybody's signature in that subdivision. So, yeah, it does, but it does offer you more protection. That's not very encouraging. Did
no.
they give you any encouraging?
No. I'm trying to think of something encouraging to say.
We want to guess. We're like, this is really nice.
Yeah, that was not very encouraging. So it would be a spot zone if we change zoning, which our code talks about, spot zoning, not doing that very thing.
Mm-hmm. And yet, Eric, let me clarify, yeah. I don't know, I'm not clear in my mind. If this were commercial, then the 5-acre requirement would not be there. They could do a 1-acre subdivision.
Yes.
You can't build a house on it. Put a commercial building.
Okay, that's fine, but that 1 acre on commercial, you still get to do septic. So
maybe
if the county lets
sure.
you.
No.
Yeah, it's up to the health department. Again, we're under their auspice.
And the county has been shying away from that. You know, the last couple of commercial applications, they've pushed them towards connecting to sewer.
Yeah.
And so they've been very leery. We've had a number of issues with commercial subjects that weren't maintained or not working properly. And so they've kind of shied away from, well, one, they're incredibly small and they allow them, and two, they're getting harder and harder to permit.
Should we be looking at providing sewer as a town?
I think we are looking at it, but I think it's cost prohibitive for us. So part of the negotiation with Charleston was some hookups onto that sewer system.
Charleston is hooked on the sewer system?
They are not. They're still investigating it, but their negotiations with us for water entailed part of that as allowing maybe some hookups into that system.
So
if it goes to Heber, they don't have their own system.
So if we did have sewer running up 3000 South, this shouldn't be a difficult thing for them to.
Well, it's still an RA5 zone, so you still have that. Same
right, right. We'd have to respond to all that too, but
right.
The sewer would be the main thing. Where if there was sewer there, then this would be something that the town would feel more comfortable.
Yeah, I think that lessens the impact for sure.
Well, maybe that's where you need to proceed. Start making request to get sewer in to where you could develop your property.
And we're not in a rush.
If that's the case.
We don't want to wait 20 years either.
Although 20 years goes by faster than it used to for some reason.
Okay, well, that kind of gives us an idea of what we need to pursue.
I think that's the limitation, and we probably need a larger group of lots to say we would all want to switch.
Yeah, find as many people as you can that would agree with you and fall into that category. If you have 20 people asking for it, it's different than, I guess, if there's one person.
And we've had a handful that have requested that. As you get older, it's hard to maintain larger lots. So there has been a handful of investigation into that very thing at this point.
Yeah, and as the county starts to tax everyone out of the larger lots.
Yeah.
That's where my mom's at.
Everybody, everybody.
I know.
Yeah.
That's not on the green belt either, is it?
No.
The county taxes them like they're.
That green belt has to be six.
Subdivisible and not, even though they're not, and anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. They only double in one year. That's probably an exaggeration, but it's close.
Not mine, it wasn't.
Exaggeration, it's not.
So if that happens again next year, we'll all be moving out of the valley.
Well, we won't have to worry about the mountain lap being on fire.
There you go.
We can come up here and shoot.
Maybe it'll just get burned out first.
Okay, so, sounds like.
No for now.
No for now.
We don't have any support in the code to the general plan of the town of Daniel, where the RA5 is. You already started this. The septic is a huge issue, but also our code is RA5. We want to keep the rural area. You get it all.
I get it.
I get it.
So septic was to come down 3,000 south.
Sewer?
If sewer was to come down 3,000 south.
At this point, there's just.
There's nothing there, though.
There's nothing there, yeah.
So we kind of watch for that to happen.
Yeah, I think that eventually, that's what I think will happen, is they'll get readings in Deer Creek, and the quality of water down there will dictate what happens on the valley floor here. And I think that, from this study, you can see that it's slowly working its way toward Deer Creek. So it's coming, but.
Hey, I for one would like to say to you that if there were a way to support this, I would absolutely be supportive of it. But until we can get all the stars to line up and so forth, our hands are kind of tied, but.
Oh, I understand.
I don't believe in the idea of lock the door once your own cabin's built. I think that people who come in like you, who want to put something in that's reasonable, ought to be allowed to do it. It's just the mechanism doesn't exist for that now.
Not yet. Okay. Well, if that's what we're here for, that's fine. We're good.
Okay. That takes us to item number three, conditional use on the bush. So you remember the Bushes put in application for license, a conditional use for a school education thing on her farm. And, oh, an agricultural building to sell the things that have been grown on site. Those three things were all in their application. So you normally wouldn't see an ag building. We would handle that as staff, but since there's a conditional use with that, the notices went out. Did you receive notice in the mail?
Today.
Okay, so the notices have been sent for a public hearing, which will be at the next council meeting, right? So we want to make you guys aware of that's when that was, because we just got it right on the schedule. So that will be on the 5th of July. Is that when it is?
I don't know. I don't remember.
There's a special meeting I saw on the paper.
On the 12th.
On the 12th.
Okay, on the 12th.
Is that what that one is? Is that something else?
On the 12th, there is two special things going on the 12th. One of them is that public hearing. Another one is a hearing for a violation that we've had in the town, and so we'll be holding a hearing. And so the reason it's a special meeting is because it's held at 5 instead of 6, so we changed the time to accommodate everything that's going to be going on that night. So I'm sure it's the 12th. because of the 4th of July. So that day, you need to mark down and be to that public hearing.
And that's at 5?
The meeting will start at 5. I believe the public hearing is at 6.
So there's no meeting on the 5th?
No meeting on the 5th because of the 4th of July.
That's what I thought, though, so I was a little confused there. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't bring my agenda for the from the town council meeting.
Okay.
But that will take place, and the conditional use, as you know, will happen at the planning level, recommendation to the council. So we'll have that meeting, we'll meet next month, we'll have that recommendation to give the council.
So I may have been gone for that meeting. Is that, are those documents out there somewhere that we can
Yes.
get them?
Yes, I'll send you a copy.
Okay.
Does everybody need a copy of that?
Yes.
Okay, I'll resend that one.
If we're supposed to make a recommendation, it'd be nice to know.
Were they still doing the council meetings on Teams? I'm going to be out of town.
Yes, the council meetings are on Teams. They're trying to move away from it. Everybody's getting off of those now. But I don't know why. It seems to be the push is to go back away.
It's nice to have the option.
It is.
Somewhere.
I think the disturbances is what's making everybody pull away because they're getting bombarded with interruptions in the meeting. And I think it's hard to administer the meeting on that.
Is there a silence button or a stop talking?
There is, but it takes time to do it. And we've had some people take over the camera and it's had some wild pictures thrown and out. So
if you silence too many people, it's not a public hearing anymore.
Yeah, so until they can figure out how to do that with better, and I'm sure they're working on it because I mean, it happened to a lot of people, helping the legislature on their meeting. So some pornographic images that got shot up. So,
people got nothing to do.
It's COVID. Let's see what we can do today. That's fun. Let's do that. So be aware of that. So the council did set that. Okay, the next item we have on the agenda, is there any questions on that one?
So the their neighbors will be sent out a notice, or maybe they already have.
Yeah.
Everybody within 500 feet should receive a notice.
I think they went even further than 500 feet, because I got one.
Did they? Well, it could have been because you're in the subdivision, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the notices went out. And I haven't received mine yet. I'm on that list too, so I should have got one too. But
they probably used the sheriff's 600 foot tape, which is a lot longer than it.
No, it's shorter.
I was
going to say. 500 feet rolls off about 200 feet.
So this is the planning report I'm handing out now. Everything's pretty much what we did last month. We do have a violation that we sent out a notice to. Let's see, where's that at? Right here. So we had somebody living in a barn, garage. Notice went out for cease and desist. He requested a hearing, so we are having that hearing in the next on the 12th. The neighbors were complaining about late night fires and some things going on over there that was disruptive to the neighborhood. So
tell us where that was.
It is in, I can tell, 3888 South Crazy Acre Road. So this will be the Russell Morgan property. You may remember that name coming across in 2013, I believe, maybe 14, we issued a agricultural building for that barn out of the planning commission. So that turned into a residence. So we sent out a cease and desist. He requested a hearing, which is the correct way to do that. So we'll be holding a hearing on it. He'll be able to come and present his evidence of why he's not violating the town code. Does anybody need a copy of this also? Do you want me to send you a copy of the notice of violation?
Go ahead and send it.
Okay.
I'm really more interested in the reply.
The reply? Yeah, but you see it on 12, so.
We had it with this statement that went out on the agricultural buildings. As Ryan, maybe you can answer this for me. Was that in 213, did we have that in place? When someone built an ag building, that they were aware that they could not turn it into a house?
It was in the code, the yes. I'm trying to remember if that was, if we had adopted the affidavit or not to make it stronger. I don't think we have an affidavit on that one, but it wasn't the code and it was very clear.
It's after I was on planning this, that statement came in, so I wasn't on planning.
County Hughes suggests that we do that.
And that's standard practice now.
It is.
Just so people understand what it means, you can't come back later and say you didn't tell me.
And really, that's a fantastic document for us to show the judge.
Yeah.
I mean, that just bolsters what we're doing, so. They're aware of it, says they're aware of it. They don't necessarily have read the code, but it says they have, so. They sign that and that's, and I think we've done that ever since then, every application for the ag buildings. On the Bush one that we was just talking about, that ag building, we had them change their business plan to only items that were grown on site. So they're not able to buy other merchandise and sell on site that's grown on site or produced on site, whatever. Because we worry about turning something into commercial. We had them rewrite the business plan on their submission, so. Okay, I'll send you a copy of that. The Gibo property, you're waiting for an answer back on the court. So they sent that back to the city to hold another hearing and to run that application again. And we're waiting to hear back on the court on which procedure they want to go with that. So we may be holding another public hearing. We may not. We don't know what the court's going to dictate on that. We're waiting back for the court answer.
Is that just going to come back to the council or is that going to come back to planning?
Where the judge sends it. So we're waiting for them to tell us where it's headed back, so. Yeah. Any questions on the planning report?
What's this with Jeremy Keel?
So he was asking about, he bought the property on Daniel Road. And he's asking about a conditional use to move his trucking outfit.
Daniel Road where?
Right across the road from Kim, just about.
Okay.
Across from Gary Walton, if you know Gary.
Yeah.
It would be about, probably somewhere around 2600 south.
Flower Time.
And what's our?
He has that trucking outfit. He'd like to move in that house and have the trucks out back. And I said you can't have commercial access through the residential.
He's got it up on Route Sweden.
Well, he's trying.
You ever been there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's jam-packed on that.
Right. And I think, and the back of that property, you remember, is zoned industrial.
Okay.
And so that's where he wants to get those trucks to. I says, well, your neighbors, the conditional use, he says, how would you do it? I said, I would apply for a conditional use. And I would get your neighbors on board because those are the ones that is impacted.
And they're not. They don't like things trucked back there.
Yeah, well, that would all come out in the hearing.
Okay, but he's also, that other property that he has, totally not.
Yeah, we have
compliant.
A bunch of those. Yeah.
So if we make a ruling on that, we need to take a look at his other property also.
Well, again, we only go out when there's a written complaint. So yeah. We have to have somebody with a written complaint before we expend town funds chasing those down. So if we get one of those, then we'd be looking at that for sure. But that's what that one's about.
Okay.
He's redoing that house and I'm currently chasing him, trying to get him to pull a permit. I believe they're moving electrical and plumbing. I don't know that yet, but he hasn't received a permit yet. I don't see the sheetrock yet in there, but there's been new windows put in, some things going on that the neighbors are concerned because they haven't seen the permit. So, yeah, we've been talking to Jeremy.
I mean, oh, okay, never mind.
that Nielsen has met with Ryan and me, and they're moving forward. They've turned in an application for a zone change on that property out on the highway that they come and talk to us about.
On the corner, the triangle shaped one?
Last one.
The one that's right next to Ed Houston's.
Oh, that one.
You missed that. So what's happening with that?
Well, we've talked about that one several times.
So they had a concept approval in our last meeting. They've applied for a zone change on that parcel.
It's the RV storage facility.
Okay, yeah.
So that'll be coming up. All zone changes are required to be in July, so we'll probably have a few of those applications get turned in, and then the council will take action on them in November. Okay, any other questions?
On that one, that last one, Gregory Nielsen. Where we left it with him last time was that he was not intending to get through to Little Sweden. Is that still the case, or is he trying?
Yeah, so we talked about that, putting a...
deed commitment?
Yeah, it was a deed restriction. Okay. Yeah, and record that against the property. So that's what he's working on.
Okay, and so that is the direction they're staying with that. They're not trying to get around that.
No.
Okay.
No, their zone change, that they actually wrote back and asked if they could just do the front acres that we'll let them put commercial on. And it's like, no, you have to change the entire parcel because that's the way there. It's all zoned the same, but the deed restriction will still be on. We would be making illegal lot.
Right.
And so we can't.
Which was my concern from the very beginning.
Right. Yeah, we don't have the authority to make any legal laws.
Has he made any headway with Dick Hansen?
I don't know that. I know he's talked to Ryan's office.
Just talk at this point.
So.
What's that?
I said that there's been communication and questions. We don't have any application for that yet.
So it'll be coming. Any other questions on the planning report? I think everything else is running. We haven't seen an application from Chanel. The pipeline irrigation, the pipeline is installed for the irrigation company, which is pretty good out there. A few bumps along the way. The corridor agreement is, they've moved that away from, we have a new director up here on UDOT, and they've moved a different direction, so we're not sure where that's at. They're in negotiations with the town of Independence. So we've been assured that they will honor our corridor agreement, so we'll see. Okay. That takes us to our next item, which is minute approval, May 19th. Everybody have a chance to look at the minutes? Review them, and are there any corrections or additions?
I move we accept the minutes as written.
Okay, have a motion. Is there a second?
Yeah, I'll second it.
Okay, any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? One abstain?
One abstain. I wasn't here, so I don't know whether they're right or not.
Okay. Item number six, adjournment.
I'll make a motion to adjourn our meeting.
Okay. A motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Almost second. All in favor? Any opposed?
I'll abstain.
I'm not sure I have to raise my hand.
Okay, time yet.